And
good morning. How are you? Alliance for Gambling. It's cold and nippy outside, and it's raining. The Alliance for Gambling Reform have just put out a online gambling policy statement, and I've been reading through it. And there is a lot of harm out there for Australia when it comes to gambling online, isn't there?
There certainly is, and, you know, we have some of the weakest laws across the world, and we've been able to demonstrate that, you know, compared to other regulatory regimes around the world, we are falling behind, and we're really struggling to keep up with the fast pace of technology and, you know, the gamification that's occurring, and that means basically, you know, gambling-like features are being added into online games. So we really need to catch up. We're playing catch up. We're behind. But we need to do a lot more if we're to protect our communities and our kids from the growing harms associated with it.
And now when you say gaming and gambling are now hand in hand, we're talking about grooming children, aren't we?
We certainly are. I mean, look, some of these game-like features are very close to being, you know, gambling features, and very often they're completely grey. It's very difficult to determine one from the other. I mean, you're seeing things like, you know, companies buying gaming companies, and these are companies that currently produce poker machines, buying up gaming companies that, kids are using their games, and those games are actually, you know, they have poker machine-like features in those games.
We're talking about free apps to kids to learn how to be hooked up to gambling, right?
That's right, and become the next generation of the world's biggest losers, because that's what we are in Australia. We lose more per capita than any other country in the world to gambling. So it's not like we don't already have a significant problem when it comes to gambling. We also don't have the regulations and the things in place that would enable us to manage the growing losses and all of the harms that go hand in hand with that.
When you talk about losses, this is gobsmacking. $7 billion in losses suffered each year across Australia.
Yes, that's right. And growing fast.
That's just unbelievable. But, of course, it's addictive.
It's highly addictive. It is addictive. And, you know, these companies are very astute at knowing exactly how they can hook people in and keep them on the hook. I mean, we know that many of the online companies that have given evidence to the inquiry into online gambling, and its harms, at a recent inquiry, admitted that when people are starting to win, they stop them from gambling on their platforms. And we know that when they're losing, they're provided with inducements and encouragement to keep going. So, you know, they know exactly what they're doing. They know how to pitch their games so that people are very you know, keen to continue playing them and, you know, keen to lose their money.
Now, let's look at light-touch gambling policy and regulation. I would like to tease this out. And it's interesting looking at your report. I would like listeners to take into account the notion that in policies they will put things like responsible gambling and problem gambling versus harm prevention and gambling harm. There's a distinct difference between the power of the lobbyists from the gambling industry and the people who have lived experience of the harm of gambling when it comes to policy making in Australia.
So true. And, you know, what we've seen is that the gambling industry have been able to set the tone. They've been dictating the language that we use. They've been putting forward this idea that you need to responsibly gamble. Well, what on earth is that? I mean, what they're really saying is let's blame the individuals and move the focus off the product. And we've seen this in tobacco and areas that are harmful. where those companies too would say, well, you know, it's not the cigarettes, it's the way people use them and that becomes addictive and causes the problems. Well, that's actually not the case. If you've got very lax regulation and you're not able to manage this issue, we know that, you know, it's the problem is a societal problem. It's not the problem just of the person. And we also know, you know, the other thing that is often promulgated is this idea that there's a small number of problem gamblers. Well, that's just simply not true. if you are the country with $25 billion in losses to gambling and you're way ahead of any other country in the world by 40%, that's not a small number of people. That's actually a significant community problem that impacts us all, whether it be, you know, family violence, whether it be mental health issues, anxiety, depression, suicide, financial losses. I mean, there are a whole range of ways in which we as a society pay for this problem. So we have to stop blaming the individual. It is a highly addictive product, that's true, but let's stop making it as accessible and, you know, put some restrictions around around it like what they have in other countries and, you know, manage it as a problem that society is dealing with. It isn't about just the individuals who gamble.
Yeah, well, actually, gambling is normalised and celebrated in Australia. In fact, my heart goes just drops every time I see the young fellows living together, gambling together in those ads on TV.
Yes,
and they exactly. Put them on the on a high mountain as if it's the fresh air of freedom.
Exactly right. I mean, they're very sophisticated, those ads, and they're really targeting especially young men, but increasingly young women, you know, with the idea that this is social, this is about being part of
a group,
you know, a group and having fun, and it's all, you know, not problematic, it's all just light fun. And we know that isn't the case. And we know that the earlier kids are exposed to this concept of normalisation of gambling, which is very much the case in Australia when you've got poker machines on every other street corner. You know, we have them in every suburb in Australia. In other countries, they don't have that either. Then they're more likely to go on to become gamblers, and they're more likely to experience harm.
Now, we've covered a little bit of, and only the tip of the iceberg of the gambling industry's lobbying proficiency. Part of their argument, of course, is bad money to good, taxes derived from gambling are often placed in state hospitals, mental health and charity funds, and so governments are reliant on those taxes. But of course, there's the obverse is that the very dark thing that you've intimated, which is all these terrible things that happen, flood the society that we live in that have to be picked up, the bill that has to be picked up, and the economic losses.
Mm. Well, we also, I mean, it's quite damning that we've come to rely on revenue from gambling to support other community services and programs. I mean, that's just astounding, really. And other countries have not put themselves in that position to the same extent. And you're quite right. I mean, in terms of the cost of this issue, it's significant. And, you know, we have not really even been able to quantify what that cost is. We know what the harms are. We know the impact it's having. We know that it has an impact on all sorts of health, mental health and other issues that are costing us as a society. We haven't really put a figure on it because we don't even collect the data. We don't even ask these gambling companies to produce the data. Most of them collect our data and keep our data. They don't actually hand it over to government. So we often, if we were to go out now, and we've tried this with looking at the real costs of gambling in Australia, it's very difficult to do because we just simply don't capture the data. And the industry has been very astute at being able to set their own regulations because they co-regulate with government. Very often in this area, governments talk directly to the gambling industry.
Because they're a major stakeholder, in inverted commas.
Well, they're the only one in this area, and they shouldn't be. I mean, you know, can you imagine us sitting down with the tobacco industry and the tobacco industry and government setting their own regulations. It just wouldn't happen, and it shouldn't happen here either.
Well, actually, when I was working on this story, I actually put Wolf in charge of hen house.
Yes, absolutely. It's a very good analogy.
It's pretty awful, but your report is actually quite a complex piece, and I'll put the link for people to go to it on our podcast because you've actually got a whole lot of very interesting things around what needs to be done, including the issue of research and data. That's really fascinating to me that you've gone that far. But there's a whole other range of things that you are calling for, aren't there?
There are. Look, the simple reality is we don't have a national approach to gambling harm in Australia at all. Not one health department in Australia deals with gambling harm. So we, you know, we don't even recognise it. When we're talking about gambling harm, we're often talking about the harm to industry if it isn't making the same level of profits. That's how governments interpret harm. So we've got a long way to go, and that includes everything from prevention and education, awareness, to treatment, to research. I mean, we just are so far behind, and we need to catch up because this problem's getting in front of us and it's impacting our kids and our communities in a very big way. So it is important, and there is a national inquiry coming up, a report due out in June or July, and we are very keen to see the federal government pick that report up and implement those recommendations because we want to see real change in this area for our future generations, but you know, it's something that we need to do, like we did with tobacco. It's a very similar kind of harmful product.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Carol.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.